for wholesaling properties, I think it works really well because the sellers do want to sell their property. Otherwise, they wouldn't sign the contract. And at the same time, it's an as-is purchase, meaning that they don't have to make renovations on the property. Yep.
This show is brought to you today by Lightbulb Podcasting. Are you a busy professional that needs to get more time back in their schedule? If you are a podcaster like me, you have enough on your plate. Why not outsource your podcast production? From editing, show notes, keywords, scheduling, volume balancing, and editing, and creating audiograms, podcast production is another job in and of itself. That's why I use Lightbulb Podcasting. Get phenomenal support at an affordable price while you concentrate on growing your brand. Go to www.lightbulbpodcasting.com today to schedule an introductory call. Put your content in the spotlight.
Are you tired of the 9-to-5 lifestyle? Do you want more freedom to do what you want, when you want it, without sacrificing your current income? Then this is the show for you. Every week, we dive into John's journey towards financial freedom and everything he has learned since 2014. Real estate investing, cryptocurrency, stocks, private lending, foreign residency, tax saving strategies, infinite banking, assets protection, and much more. Now, here is your host, the founder of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus, John Rickgarn.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, depending on when you're listening to this. This is John Rickgarn, your host, as always, of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast. This is your first time joining us. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And if this is not your first time, welcome back and thanks again for joining. Now, for the first time on my show, we're actually going to do a deep dive into a relatively easy way to get into real estate, you know, low barrier to entry, low cost. But many times this entry point can, shall we say, have a bad rap associated with it, just to, you know, some bad actors in it, just like, you know, the quote used car salesman, or, you know, every industry has their bad actors, so to speak. So with that, my guest today, Hayata Hori, is a partner with Rocket Offer and will share his experience with this business that is called wholesaling. With that, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having on the show, John. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for coming on and, you know, sharing your expertise on this niche per se in the real estate world. But maybe you can maybe just take a step back. Can we get a brief bio or background on you and, you know, how you started your company and how you got into real estate in the beginning?
Yeah, definitely. So my name's Hayato. I was actually born in Japan and I grew up in Singapore. So okay. I'm not, you know, natively from the U.S., came here when I was 18 for university. And then I'm currently living in Long Beach, California, but I've been in LA for about like 4.5 or 5 years okay. or so, because that's where I went to university. And then while I was going to university, I always wanted to start my own business. So I tried a bunch of different side hustles, like drop shipping, right? E-commerce, yep. retail arbitrage.
I think millions with no money down and no effort.
Exactly. I'm sure everyone who's tried to go into entrepreneurship has at least looked into it.
Right.
So I've tried that. I've even tried Amazon FBA, and I've done all these different things, and I've got very well versed in the e-commerce space initially. I got pretty good at running ads like Facebook ads, Google ads, okay. and I learned all that through YouTube. And I was making some good money depending on the months.
Sure.
So like 1 month would be like, oh, wow, I just made $30,000 in sales. And another month it was like, oh, wow, now it's like $2,000. So yeah. it was very volatile. It was very inconsistent. And so I was like, okay, I need something that is a little bit more consistent. Mm-hmm. And the toughest part that I learned running e-commerce businesses was that you had to have a good product in order to right. sell it. And so most of the times when you don't have a good product, you're just relying on the marketing and how good mm-hmm. you are at marketing that product.
Sure.
And then my roommate at that time, his name is Antoine. He runs a company called Martel Turnkey. He started okay. Martel Turnkey while I was in college with him. He was a senior at that time.
Okay.
Just about to graduate. And then I was a junior. And then I saw him start his real estate company. And I was like, you know what? real estate seems like a great product. Everyone wants it. You can see how hot it is in the market currently right. in California. You don't even have to market it. As long as it's a good deal, there's going to be investors or homeowners. Any buyer is going to want to get a property as long as it's a good deal in their eyes, obviously. So that's when something clicked in my head. I was like, oh, okay. So real estate seems like a great vehicle to get into. But initially, I had no clue whatsoever how real estate worked. I didn't even know what a mortgage was. I didn't know like you had to get insurance on properties. And so I was super confused. And I asked a bunch of questions to Antoine and just learning about the real estate industry in general. And then I had just about like $15,000 saved up by the time I graduated college.
Okay.
From all the side hustles I was doing. And I was like, you know what? Like, let me just buy a rental property and see what happens. Like, even if I lose that $15,000, even if I don't make anything on it, I could not care less because I want to learn it. And I was like, I'm 21. At 21 at that time.
Sure.
And I was like, I'm still young, you know, it can take me a few years, but I'll get to a point where I have 15,000 in my bank again. So from then I just laid it out on the line. Obviously I did my homework and I made sure that it could cash flow. I wasn't just buying any random thing. And so I bought a turnkey property from Antoine, graduating. And then I saw that the property management company was able to collect the rent for me, pay the rent checks. And I was like, wow, that's really, really great. Like I get tax advantages, right? I was able to leverage my money and now I have consistent cash flow coming in every single month from my tenant. And I bought my first property in Memphis, Tennessee. And I was like, oh, this is great. You know, cause you cannot buy anything in California for less than $500,000.
Right.
It's just not possible. And I tried, you know, and then once I got a little more advanced, I tried to look into properties that maybe I could house hack and whatever, but it's just not, you just won't make money. So unless you're flipping properties in California, it's going to be tough. And even if you are, there's permitting issues and it's tenant friendly. And so, you know, I try to avoid California in general. I love living here, but it's just tough in terms of like real estate, but I know a lot of people do well here as well. It doesn't mean you can't. But circling back to kind of my story with Memphis, Tennessee. So I saw like it can be very affordable. I bought the property for about $70,000, put 20% down. So it came out to about like $15,000 overall. And then I saw that I didn't have anything in my bank account. You know, I depleted my savings and I was like, okay, well, I want to buy another rental property, but I have no money.
Right.
And so I was continuing my side hustles. I had a W-2 income at that time. I was working at a company called Hyperloop TT, which is, you know, Elon Musk's idea of
The boring company.
Yeah, exactly. You can get to, you know, theoretically from San Francisco to LA in like 45 minutes or so.
Right.
So that was what I was doing then. And I really loved everyone that I worked with, but I just always knew I had an itch that I had to scratch, which was to start my own business. And I wanted to become financially free. And I knew that real estate was the way I was going to get there. And so about 2 years into that W-2 income job, I said, hey, like, what's the hardest part about, you know, doing real estate for you to Antoine? And then he was like, you know, everyone has a difficult time finding a good deal, finding a good off-market deal. And he said a lot of the wholesalers that he worked with, although he's worked with many, they just don't do it right. And we can go into it a little bit later too on what that meant. I didn't know what that meant when I was, you know, learning about it. But now that I've been doing, you know, now that we're doing about 10 to 15 deals a month, now I know exactly what that means.
Okay.
But initially I didn't know what that meant. And then, so we started the company December, 2019, got a lot of traction. And in a month and a half, I decided like, hey, I'm going to quit my job and just going to pursue this full time and see how it takes us. So 2020 was my first full year of running the company. And then obviously the pandemic hit and what's going to happen, you know, I have no clue what's going to happen. There's just a lot of unknowns. We just started the company, but then the crazy thing was that when we started wholesaling in areas that Martel Turnkey bought in because they were looking to ramp up their inventory there as well. And we also talked with a lot of investors, not just them, but a lot of fix and flip companies, a lot of turnkey companies, and even a lot of retail investors who might be buying their second or third property. Mm-hmm. And we got into speaking with them and seeing what their buying criteria was, and really was able to pinpoint some zip codes that the investors were looking for. And obviously I was an investor first. I bought my rental property. I know exactly what the numbers should look like for an investor. Mm-hmm. So I think that also gave me a leg up from other wholesalers who don't actually have a rental, or they don't know what an investor is really looking for. And then so from there, we started out maybe doing a deal a month.
Okay.
And we were able to do this all virtually. And we had to set it up that way too, because I'm in California and the markets mm-hmm. we're working in is like in Cleveland, Ohio, Memphis, Tennessee, right now, St. Louis, Missouri, and Detroit, Michigan. So in those markets, I'm not going to be able to physically go there every single time, but we set it up in a way where we're virtually sending contracts, we're virtually contacting the sellers, and then making offers, and also bringing it over to the title company and negotiating with our investors all virtually as well. So that actually helped us through the pandemic and still was able to scale and move forward because we were able to have everything set up virtually. So I know that was a little bit long, but that's kind of how I started from the beginning and where I'm now.
Yep. Yeah. And I can, like you said, you know, I think the market's kind of hot wherever, but you know, I don't know, last year, I think I saw a story. There was some house that literally had a fire, like the roof burned off and half the side was charred. You know, maybe they want a big open sunroof. And I think that property sold, it was like $800,000 or something. It had multiple offers, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It's like, okay, literally and figuratively, the market is on fire. Yes.
Was that the one in San Francisco? I think
it might have been San Francisco. I just remember it was in California, and I can't remember. I'm gonna have to look up, see if I can find that story, but it's just some obnoxiously high price. It's like, you know, I can't believe someone A, has that money available to spend, and B, would still spend it, but, you know, teach their own. So,
yeah, it's insane. The market is so crazy here.
Right. So now you've kind of touched base on this a little bit, and maybe I'll just kind of sum it up. If, as I understand it, the wholesaling market works per se is, you know, you or your team, you know, or your partners, I don't know, say you find a property and, I don't know, just putting round numbers, you put it under contract for $50,000. And say there is an investor that's looking for a property that maybe the after repair value is $100,000. And maybe, I don't know, they're willing to buy it for $65,000, put in $20,000, maybe $15,000, and make a spread on that. And on your end, okay, I bought it for $50,000, or essentially put it under contract per se for $50,000. I sell that contract, you know, maybe for $55,000. The investor gets a great deal after a market repair. That property they buy for $55,000. You got under contract for $50,000, and you keep the difference, you know, $5,000. Is that pretty much high level of how it works?
That's exactly right.
Okay, sounds good. Now, with that, and I don't know, like I said, there's bad actors, you know, in every market. I mean, I can attest. I got a property in Memphis. I got two properties in Birmingham. I get texts, phone calls, emails, and sometimes they're just like obnoxiously lowball offers. I'm like, okay, this is less than what I paid for it 3 years ago. You're out of your mind. You think, well, I'm going to sell it now. But, you know, why is the, you know, practice maybe even considered illegal or frowned upon? I know some jurisdictions are cracking down on it. Some you have to actually have a real estate license to partake in this. You know, maybe you can shed some light on that.
Yeah, so there's really two school of thoughts on the wholesaling side. Okay. The people that think that wholesaling is kind of illegal tend to consider the wholesalers themselves as brokers. And so they think, okay, wholesalers are brokering this deal. And so if so, they need a license. So that's what the one argument is. And the other argument is, no, it's not really that way because we're just assigning a contract and nothing else is done. So those are the two perspectives that people are looking at. And, you know, there's no right or wrong answer there. It really is kind of both, I would say. But then the way I think you can differentiate who is actually doing it correctly and who's not, and the reason why those things come up is because many new, usually new wholesalers, they create a bad name for the industry itself just because they don't necessarily know what they're doing. So they inflate the numbers. So they say, hey, the after repair value of this property is $150,000 when it actually might be $100,000.
Right.
They say repairs are $20,000 when the repairs are actually double or triple that amount.
Yep.
And so in those circumstances, when a wholesaler is not being fully transparent or is not actually running the numbers as they should be, that can cause big red flags to obviously investors who actually believe those numbers and bought it. And then obviously then it's going to go to the county or whatever, say, hey, this person sold me this property, but the numbers were completely off. But then obviously the county can't do anything because they're like, well, you bought the property and they signed it. Like, it's technically legal to do that. And so now they're seeing that it might have happened more than once. And so they're looking into it a little bit more, which is unfortunate because if you do it correctly, that shouldn't be the case. And so I think the correct way, at least the way I see it, is that the way at least we do it in our company is we try to come up with the most accurate ARV. Having said that, every investor, I think, comes up with a different way to do after repair values. You can talk to 10 different investors and they'll come up with 10 different after
repair values
because they either are very conservative with their numbers or they're very optimistic. People who are buying in Texas, for example, are very optimistic with their numbers. They are like, I'm going to see appreciation over time. Maybe they're doing Airbnbs. They're like, I don't care. I get big cash flow and it's going to appreciate over time. Same thing here in California. They're banking on that appreciation. But then if you're really looking for something that is cash flowing, but you also have some equity buying into the property, then they might be a little bit more conservative with the ARVs and whatnot. So those are things to definitely consider. And we always ask our investors to do their own due diligence, but that's one part of it. And then something that we always do is we actually pay for the inspections to happen on our properties. And so we cover the $400 to $600 that it costs to do an inspection. And we give a full transparent view of the property. And so they take the pictures and everything and even some walkthrough videos. So then an investor can see the inspection report. It's a certified inspector and they'll be able to see, okay, so these are some of the items that might need to be fixed. This is what I'm looking like. And so the inspection company that we work with, they even come up with repair estimates based on all the items that are listed on the inspection report. So that can help our investors evaluate whether or not they want to proceed with that property. So we try to be as transparent as possible with the property. We don't try to hide anything because at the end of the day, we want our investors to come back the second, third, fourth time because their first investment was so good. So that's kind of how we like to structure it. And another thing that we do is we introduce them to the boots on the ground. So a lot of our investors are in like California or expensive places like New York, Chicago even. And they're like, I just can't invest in my state or city. And they look out of state and they don't have anyone there that they can go to. So we introduce them to property management companies, lenders, insurance companies, and even contractors if they need to get everything done and be as successful as possible in their first investment out of state. So that's what we do. I think that those are things that might be needed in order for an investor to get a full picture. Because sometimes you don't know as an investor if you don't see the pictures, if you don't see the report. So that's kind of what we do at least.
Okay. Sounds good. So yeah, you know, obviously there's a, you know, transparency and just being, you know, upfront and ethical. And like you said, every investor can run their own numbers, but you know, hey, here's the whole scope of the house projects, you know, repairs, et cetera. And if it works great for all parties, I think that's kind of a win-win. Yeah. Now, as far as like sourcing deals and, you know, I'm just kind of thinking back. So, you know, one of my side jobs, I am actually a real estate agent for a local company, have been for 2 years. And I think there's a misconception that, oh, if I want to sell my property, I have to get an agent involved. And at least as far as I know, in all 50 states, that's not true. I mean, you know, an agent can help you and obviously bring their expertise, but selling a piece of real estate is just a transaction from one party to another, and, you know, get a title company, you know, hand over the title, do a FSBO listing, et cetera. Obviously you can do that. Now I kind of look at wholesaling maybe is benefiting, you know, maybe someone just maybe has a problem property, for lack of a better term, and they just want to be done with it. You know, maybe there's extensive repairs, they inherited it, they know nothing about the market, they don't even want people in there and having to deal with an agent. So, you know, it could be a point that maybe they inherited this property, it's paid off. Sure, maybe on the open market it's worth $100,000, but it's like, I just want to be done with this. I don't want to put a, you know, a thing of paint, you know, section of drywall. I don't want to put anything into this. And hey, if someone can come up to me and say, hey, I'll give you, you know, $50,000 cash, close in 30 days, you know, maybe some people look at that as like, oh, well, you're taking advantage of them because it's worth more. But for them, maybe it's just the peace of mind, quick close and fast cash without financing is what they're looking for. Is that what you've seen in your, you know, experience and your dealings?
Definitely. Yeah. Cause I know a lot of real estate agents, their bread and butter is really nicely renovated homes, yep, or at least well taken care of homes that is market value.
Yep.
They have other homeowners that say, oh, like I want to buy that property because it's gorgeous, because it's so nice.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with investors, it's really not that case because investors want a value add property.
Right.
They're never going to buy, you know, a market valued property because it's just not what they're looking for. If they see like a very well renovated property, they actually run the other way. So for us, like for wholesaling properties, I think it works really well because the sellers do want to sell their property. Otherwise they wouldn't sign the contract. And at the same time, it's an as is purchase, meaning that they don't have to make renovations on the property. Yep. They don't have to make cosmetic updates. Cause a lot of times when you do work with real estate agents and the homeowners, they're going to request to have some updates made to the property before actually moving in. And that can be a lot of a headache, I guess, for a lot of homeowners. And so the sellers tend not to like that at all. But when you tell them it's as is, and yes, the value can be maybe $100,000 after it's rehab, but you need to put $25,000 in to even get that after repair value. And so in order to put $25,000, a lot of homeowners, the sellers, they don't have $25,000 just to put into their property.
Exactly.
And they don't think of the property many times that way. They think of the home as just something that they're like living into, and then they just want their cash out so that they can go and live in another property. So that's majority of the cases. And for a property that maybe an investor owns, maybe it's a problem tenant. And that's actually a lot of times too. And a landlord also might be managing the properties themselves and not having a property management company. And many times they're like, yeah, you know what? I don't want to deal with these properties anymore. I don't want to manage these tenants anymore. So here you go. And they don't care. And they're like, I'm not doing the $25,000 rehab either. So that's kind of why we're able to get these properties at a discount. And I think it works well for everyone because the seller gets what they want. We tend to cater to when they want to close on the property too. So we're like, hey, if you need 90 days, sure. Like we can close in 90 days. And then we will make sure that it is an as-is purchase and then go from there, and then investor wins as well. So it's a win-win situation, I think, for everyone. Okay. And there's no fees as well, no commissions as well.
We'll be right back.
Are you somebody that's been dealing with betrayal trauma? Are you somebody that has a really giant heart and you want to give back to this world, but you're not sure how you can do that because your trust has been broken? Well, I've got good news for you. I have the perfect podcast for you to come and listen to. It's called The Other Side of the Struggle, Healing from Betrayal Trauma by Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching. Come learn how to trust again. Come learn how to open up that giant heart and heal from your betrayal trauma at The Other Side of the Struggle on all major platforms.
This show is brought to you today by Timothy Hero with Hero Mortgages. Did you know traditional lenders cap you at no more than 10 rental loans in your name? Many have complicated underwriting processes, and if you are self-employed, even more documentation and income verification is needed. Why not work with a loan broker that can get you the best terms with an unlimited amount of loans for your investment properties? 30-year fixed rates starting at 5.8%. These loans do not report on your credit report, can be done right in an LLC, and can be used for 1 to 30 unit properties or portfolios, all with faster closing times and less documentation than a traditional lender will require. Check out episode number 17 for more info, or go to timothyhero.com to get a quote today.
All right. Well, and I just think, you know, I'm sure there's, you know, some neighborhoods that I think the neighborhoods and other homeowners would benefit as well. If there's a, you know, untidy house that's going to sit on the market and get more and more dilapidated, well, unfortunately, that's going to drag the home values of the neighborhood. And, you know, the neighbors are going to be disgusted that, well, I live next to this eyesore. No one's going to buy it to live in it. But hey, if there's an investor, a wholesaler, a turnkey company, a fix and flipper that can come in, you know, improve that property, you know, kick out a bad tenant, put in a good tenant, you know, sell it to a first time home buyer, whatever the case may be. Well, that just improves the overall neighborhood. That improves, you know, the, you know, neighborhood property values. And I look at it as, like, you know, properly structured, it's a win-win for everyone, you know, buyer, seller, wholesaler, investor, everyone, as well as the surrounding neighborhood, where, yeah, if someone just doesn't know what investors are looking for and thinks, so I can flip this property and make a quick $10,000 in my pocket without thinking of how does this benefit everyone else? Well, then you're talking about a win-lose scenario where only one person wins, so to speak, and everyone else is on the short end of the stick.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
So, all right. So the, you know, we kind of talked a high level of the wholesaling. You know, it's basically putting a property under contract and assigning that contract to, you know, an end buyer, you know, maybe an owner occupant or maybe a, you know, probably investor in most cases, and structuring as a win-win deal. Is there anything I should have asked or maybe missed in the whole wholesaling space that I maybe should have asked you?
I think you really got the high overview, pretty much aspect of wholesaling. I think the one thing that is maybe a misconception for a lot of people is a lot of people go into wholesaling thinking it's very easy, and sure, it is simple. It is simple, but
simple,
it's not,
but not easy.
Yeah, exactly. Because there is a difference there. The concept is very simple. You send a contract to a seller, you get a purchase and sale agreement, and then you bring that to the title company and you find an investor and assign the contract for more than what you got it for.
Right.
And then the title company can pretty much take care of the rest. But when you're actually looking for deals, when you're actually negotiating with sellers, I mean, you're going to have to talk with thousands of people before you even get a yes. So if you think that you might get a property within your first week of dialing, I mean, that's just not going to happen. Because I know a lot of people are like, oh, can I do that in like a month? I mean,
exactly.
Sure, you technically, it's possible, but the chances of that is very, very low, you know?
Yeah.
So it might take you 3 months, 6 months to even get your very first deal. And you have to be consistent with it too, because you have to be calling a few hundred people every single day to even get that kind of result. So it's possible. Anyone can do it. It's simple, but I wouldn't say it's necessarily easy as well.
Right. Yeah. Simple and easy are two different things. And kind of like you said, you know, if you want to buy a rental property, you know, maybe not everyone has $10, $15, $20, $40,000 to put in, but, you know, maybe you do an assignment, you know, maybe you even do a, you know, non-refundable $1,000 earnest money that after 90 days, if it isn't assigned, then the seller keeps the $1,000. Like, okay, well, you're out $1,000 if everything goes south, but I'd rather be out $1,000 than out of $40,000 if a real estate investment goes south myself.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. I think there's so many, I mean, there's wholesaling, there is syndications, there's just REITs, there's rental properties, there's fix and flips. There's so many things, I think, in the real estate world. And a lot of people say, hey, like, I just want to do wholesaling, but there's always other avenues too, that they can always look at. I think that might be better in their circumstances, because some people might have like $100,000 laying in their bank account, but they just want to invest it. They don't know where to.
Right.
And it might be worth just buying a rental property, seeing how that goes, instead of spending 3 months, 6 months, and their time is more valuable at that point. And it might not be worth it to go that way. But really, I think it's to each their own. But if anyone has questions about wholesaling and anything in that regards, I'm more than happy to help too and answer those questions.
Cool. So, and maybe one final question just kind of popped in my mind. You know, you mentioned, you know, calling or reaching out to hundreds of people a day, you know, do you just, I don't know if anyone still uses the phone book anymore, but do you just, you know, use Google, or how exactly do you come across these leads or, you know, potential leads for what makes sense, what would make sense for a good wholesale deal to an investor?
Definitely. So what we use is something called PropStream. It's pretty prevalent in the single family home space.
Okay.
And then we get a list from PropStream. Then we go ahead and do something called skip tracing, where we're able to get the person's phone numbers. It usually spits out like 6 to 7 phone numbers, so you don't know which one is actually the seller. Okay. And we have cold callers pretty much reaching out and saying, hey, I know you own a property in this address. Are you looking to sell your property? If they say no, never contact me again. Then we just take them off the list and never call them again. Like we make sure that we do take them off the list when they say that, because you want to obviously have some kind of record that you've actually taken them off the list.
Right.
Also does not like that as well. So you want to take them off the list. And at the same time, it's just the ethical thing if you, I think you just
need,
if they say never call me again, you just shouldn't call them again.
Yeah.
But
I didn't call you. I texted you. I emailed you. I sent you a postcard. It's like, no, don't contact me again.
Yeah. And so, yeah, then we just take them off the list. We have a DNC and do not call. And make sure that we don't hit them up again. So because, you know, the more numbers we call and text to, the more we actually spend on that software too. So it's actually better for us that someone just tells us never call us again, because we're like, okay, that saves us money to not hit you up again.
Right.
And it doesn't make sense for us to even hit them up again anyway, because they're just not interested. So why waste all your time on a lead?
Exactly. Yeah. Want to sell?
So that's kind of how I view it. But I know some people do still contact that person, even when they say that. But I don't think that's the best practice, personally.
Agreed. Yeah. And I've seen both sides of it. I've gotten calls, texts, you know, whatnot. And I'll say to this group, you know, don't ever contact me again. And I haven't heard a word from them. And some get it, shall we say, extremely persistent. And when I kind of had to laugh, that was just texting me constantly, like, what would you have to get for the property to, you know, for you to sell it? And I finally just threw out, it's like, $150,000. And keep in mind, this is like $115,000 property. It's like, all right, if you want it, you know, pay me $35,000 above market. And never heard from them again. So in that case, that finally
that's
worked.
One way to do it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, definitely, you know, obviously the ethical side of it for wholesaling, there's good actors and bad actors. And yeah, if someone says, hey, thanks for calling me, but don't ever contact me again, it's like, all right, do not call, you know, talk to you later. And thanks for your time. So
exactly. So, I think it can be simple as that.
Yeah. So, well, as we wrap this up, if anyone, my listeners are, you know, interested in learning more about wholesaling as a way to get into real estate, or maybe even someone has a problem property, so to speak, in, you know, Cleveland or Memphis or Detroit or maybe another market, you know, what's the easiest or best way to get a hold of you and your team?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm pretty active on Instagram and TikTok, and my username is HAYANTOOO. I know it's a little long, but I was trying to get my name, my full name, but apparently I'm not that unique, so I and then if anyone wants to look at some of our inventory, it's rocketoffer.com/invest.
Okay.
Rocket offer without an E. So OFFR.
Oh, okay. And
our inventory should be there with inspection reports and all that. And if the inspection report's not there, it means we just haven't done one yet.
Gotcha.
And it's just pending. So,
okay. So if someone's interested, like from the get go, they can see the inspection report. It's not a matter of, oh, they have this really nice photo from 8 years ago on Google Street View. I'm sure nothing has changed.
Yeah, they can actually look through it. They can click on the report. They can see everything. We break down the financials and everything
too. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. All right. Sounds good. And yeah, once again, for anyone listening to this, I'll have all these links for you in the show notes there. So sounds good. Well, as we wrap this up, I want to say thanks again for joining me on the podcast, and thanks for sharing your expertise on wholesaling. And hopefully my listeners, if they've never heard about wholesaling, hopefully they have a better understanding of it now.
Yeah, definitely. And thanks so much for having me on the podcast, John. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks again.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to share, rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For more updates, check out www.wealthandfreedomnexus.com. Remember, nothing on this show should be considered tax, legal, investment, or professional advice. This show is produced solely for educational and informational purposes. Please consult an appropriate and licensed tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for specific advice for your situation. For distribution or publication rights or media interviews, please contact the host.